Welcome. You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. I'm here with my wife, Sandy.
Hi out there.
And I know I said last time that we were going to take a little break because I'd run out of ideas, but luckily Sandy had a nice idea. There's a little pamphlet put out by a company called Special Ideas called 9 Reasons Why You Will Want to Join the Baha'is. And it points out 9 pretty interesting things to talk about. So we just thought we'd have a chat between the two of us and go through these 9 ideas. Sandy, you want to take a crack at the first one?
Well, I looked at the title of this and I thought to myself, maybe I should make my own list of 9 things, you know? And I was able to come up with 9 items. And so 9 was a really good number, I think.
So you've changed the script on me.
Oh.
Do you want to share the 9 things with me? You just want to make it a surprise.
Well, actually, they coincide with what's here, I think.
Okay, well, we'll go through your list. Just go ahead.
Well, knowing something for yourself, the truth, knowing the truth for yourself, for myself, is very important. And the faith has led me on that path of truth. And especially with the one principle of independent investigation of the truth. And that has been really wonderful for me, because it's one thing for you to know something because somebody has said it, but it's another thing to really know something for yourself. You can embody it, you can embrace it in your heart, and you can really feel the truth about something. And that's one thing that, one of the reasons about the Baha'is and about the faith that I really enjoy. Well, I think the thing that's very important and very crucial here is that you take the initiative, which is really nice. Taking the initiative in the faith to uncover the truth for yourself. Learning about the writings, reading the writings morning and evening, those give you ample opportunity to know the truth for yourself and not really wait till a service or wait until you have someone that's designated as clergy to tell you what the truth is. I think that's a very positive and proactive way to be, and that's what I really appreciate about knowing the truth, and one of the things that you will find when you join the Baha'is.
It allows you to understand the truth in your own unique way.
Oh, exactly.
You're not confined to a certain terminology. You can relate it to your own life experience, and then whatever that is becomes the truth for you. And it's perfectly okay for somebody else to feel a different way about that same scripture. What's 2 on your list?
Okay, the fellowship of the faith. I think that's something that's really wonderful. And I felt that as I was seeking the faith. I felt it even before I joined the faith. And it continued after joining, and it's been really lovely. I love the diversity in the faith, and hearing both women and men speak about what's important and about the writings, seeing people embrace the faith from all walks of life, and I think that's been very important to me. I really appreciate being someplace and seeing that diversity. It means a lot to me. And so that fellowship is really wonderful. And one of the wonderful things, too, about the faith is that I get to experience, because of the types of people that are in the faith, I get to experience so many wonderful dishes that I'm sure I never would have gotten my hands on before.
Yeah, Sandy's a great cook.
Well, thank you. I try as I might. It's so wonderful to taste some of the wonderful ethnic dishes that have been prepared by some of the families at our potlucks, for the potlucks, and that's really one of those wonderful Baha'i jokes about at show and tell. The child, a Baha'i child, brings a covered dish. They bring a casserole dish as their.
Well, the joke starts off saying that each child was supposed to bring something to show their religion. So a little Christian girl brought in her mother's rosary beads,
okay,
to show for show and tell, and a little Jewish boy brought in the menorah to show his religious symbol, and the little Baha'i girl brings in the casserole dish
for
the potlucks. But an interesting thing that this pamphlet points out is that we have a sense of community, but it's not a community based on exclusivity. It's easy to form a little club and have people that are just like you belong to the club, and you have a sense of unity and a sense of community in this small club. But in the Baha'i faith, we have a sense of community, but it's wide open. Baha'is are told to love the whole world. It's not acceptable for us to just love the Baha'is,
mm-hmm,
or just to love white people, or any little part of humanity. That's not it at all. We have to train ourselves to really embrace the whole planet and all the races and all the nations and all the previous religions.
Mm-hmm. Baha'u'llah said, "Let your vision be world embracing."
Right.
And I've learned so much from fellow Baha'is. I learned about Persian dancing. I've learned about the red envelope for Chinese New Year. I've learned so many things from my fellow Baha'is, and things that I may not have learned on my own. And it's been very valuable for me.
Right. Another thing that this pamphlet points out, that in becoming a Baha'i, you don't reject your former beliefs. And this is especially, I think, important for Christians who have such a close relationship with Christ, and they've spent their whole lifetime loving Christ, and in becoming almost any other religion, there would be a certain denial of Christ involved. But to become a Baha'i is to embrace Christ even more, and not to embrace Christ as the return, as Baha'u'llah, but to embrace Christ himself, the Christ of 2,000 years ago, and to understand his divinity in a more complete way than perhaps you did in the past. So it's, I think that makes the Christians who make the transition and become Baha'is universally feel like they have a more complete understanding of Christ and a more complete devotion to Christ as a result. And no one, I've never heard anyone say that they felt like they had left part of their Christianity behind.
Hmm. Okay. I have felt so much comfort in the Baha'i faith. I've also felt great love. And that's been very wonderful for me.
I do my best.
I came into the faith with some adversity. I was faced with some adversity.
In your previous life.
Yes, the faith really helped me to heal from that. And it was the love. It was the love that was shown to me from the believers at that time, the friends, and I really appreciate that. So the faith has great love for one for another. The prayers have been so wonderful, too. I have really enjoyed looking at my prayer book. One of the first prayer books that I received was the Hidden Words of Baha'u'llah, and it had such wonderful things that really lifted my spirit. And such wonderful language, you know, noble have I created thee. I have created thee rich.
There's a misunderstanding in Christianity that man is inherently sinful and evil, and the process of becoming a Christian sort of purifies you from that previous state. And the Baha'i writings have some beautiful language directly from God that really says that that's not true. Just as Sandy just said, that we're created noble.
There's one, O Son of Man, my eternity is my creation. I have created it for thee.
Right. Eternity is God's creation. God created it for you and I. Yeah.
Just beautiful language. My unity is my handiwork. It just overwhelmed me to have such beautiful prayers and beautiful writings to it's my pleasure to read them in the mornings and in the evenings, right. You know, and whenever I can, and to turn to them, very comforting, and prayers for lots of different occasions too.
Yeah, there's literally hundreds of prayers directly from God. In Christianity, you just have the Lord's Prayer. That's the one prayer. Jesus must have said hundreds of prayers himself, but somehow it didn't get written down. It didn't become part of the Bible except for that one prayer. But Baha'u'llah has given us hundreds. I have no idea how many there are, but there are many, many prayers.
And there's such beautiful language. In the garden of thine heart, plant not but the rose of love. And ye are the stars of the heaven of understanding, the breeze that stirreth at the break of day. You know, it just goes on and on like that. And it's just so mesmerizing and so beautiful. So the prayers have been really a reason for me to be a part of the faith. That was one of the first, the Hidden Words of Baha'u'llah was one of the first booklets that I was given when I was seeking the faith. And then after that, I've gained such a collection of books. And of course, when we married, our collection tripled, you know. And so it's just wonderful. And each time you read the writings, it seems like something new pops out at me. And so I just enjoy them so very much. And I find them as such soul, a sense of comfort to me. So. Yeah.
There's such great things to meditate on. That one that you were mentioning, it says, to go back to that for a second, it says, my eternity is my creation. I have created it for thee. Then it says, make it the garment of thy temple. And, of course, the temple being the temple of your being, your person. So what does it mean to make eternity the garment of your temple?
Yeah, that's what's so wonderful. It gives you lots to, very thought-provoking, and you just ponder and ponder.
Right, this beautiful poetry. So what does that mean? I mean, you can just...
You meditate on it, yes.
Yeah, great things for meditation.
The prayers and writings, I talked about that. And cultivating discipline, that was something that I really needed in my life, was cultivating discipline. And I love the discipline of the faith. There's such wisdom in it. And just for example, again, reading the writings morning and evening, I certainly develop my knowledge of the faith through that exercise. And it's a privilege for me. If I miss reading my writings, then I've missed feeling, you know, the love of God, you know, through those writings. So it's so powerful to have this discipline built into the faith. And there are lots of other laws that, you know, I try to be as obedient as I can and develop my virtues. So it's through cultivating the discipline that's necessary for the faith. That's one of the reasons for wanting to join the Baha'is, because there is structure, there is some discipline, self-discipline, and there's nobody policing you about it. This is something between myself and God. You know, I get to account for what I have done or what I haven't done, you know, and that's what's really wonderful. Want me to go on?
Okay. Sure.
Let's see. Initiative. It takes great initiative, I think, to be a part of the Baha'i faith. And again, that was another reason. Sometimes my initiative dwindles with lots of things. I need to. But again, that's building that self-discipline. And with the faith, it takes a lot of initiative to understand the writings for yourself, to know something for yourself, to do what is asked of you in terms of holding your devotions, getting to feast, and being refreshed at the feast that we have with our community.
Well, we need to explain what the feast is. We haven't explained that in any of the podcasts.
Oh, okay. The feast is really our devotions. Every 19 days, we have a feast day. We have devotions. We have an administrative portion and a consultative portion. And then we have a social portion. So within that, there's discipline, you know, to have each portion of the feast, to be obedient to each portion of the feast. And it takes initiative to hold the feast. We look at our calendars and we say, okay, when is the next feast coming up? We need to plan for that. What time are we going to have it? Where is it going to be? How are we going to let others know about it? So it takes initiative to have these monthly, but our Baha'i 19-day month gatherings for the refreshment and unity in our community. So that's just one example.
We haven't explained previously that the Baha'is have their own calendar that has 19 days each month and 19 months. So 19 times 19 is 361. So we have 4 days left over to party.
Okay. And the other part of initiative is service. So much of the faith is run on sheer volunteerism.
Right.
I like that service component. There is a wonderful service component built into the faith. And we are encouraged to take initiative to teach the faith, to be of service, to travel, to, you know, do lots of things with the faith, create children's classes, create devotional gatherings, create study circles. We are very much encouraged to do that. And that service component is wonderful, which is also another attraction to the faith. And in so doing, I learn so very much. So I love the learning that I have experienced in the faith and have had in the faith.
It's a little bit of a shock to some people who maybe have been used to going to large churches where things are done for you, that you just have to show up and everything's organized. Somebody's put the flowers in place. Someone else has done the music. The preacher's giving the sermon, and all you have to do is walk in the door, sit down, and walk out at the end, and you're done. Whereas this is very much a do-it-yourself sort of a deal.
So leadership is very much cultivated in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've touched on the learning. There's always such a wonderful learning curve for me, you know, in doing things. I learn so very much in teaching youth and teaching children's classes. I've learned so very much from those, that wonderful service component. And let's see, I probably have mentioned 9 things. I don't know. Let's see.
Well, I've completely lost track. I have no idea where you
I didn't number my things. That's part of it. The true purpose, that was another excellent reason for wanting to be a part of the Baha'i faith. I've learned my true purpose for my life, which is everything, you know. It's knowing, serving and knowing God. That is my true purpose. It's really wonderful to know that up front and to be able to understand what that means. You know, what does it really mean to know God? And we've talked about this word knowing, and you always explain it so beautifully. Can you explain about the knowing about God?
About knowing God?
Yes. How knowing, that verb knowing, what it's really like.
Well, there's in Arabic, there's 2 words that mean knowing. There's a verb, arfan, which is knowing, but a little bit more like recognizing, where if someone came into the room, you could say, do you know John? If John is the person that just walked in. Or you could say, do you recognize John? Which sounds a little funny, because we would usually say no. So that's one meaning of the word know. The other one is the way you know your multiplication tables, where you know absolutely everything there is to know about, you know, 6 times 6 and 6 times 7. But that's not the way you know John. The way you know John is just sort of on the outside. You know him well enough that you can recognize him. Maybe you recognize his voice. So this is arfan. The other word is alam or alim, which is the verb that has to do with this all-encompassing knowing. So when God knows us, it's the all-encompassing knowing, the alam or alim. When we know God, it's just the recognition, the arfan verb.
Thank you. And that's such a wonderful purpose in life, is to know and to love God. And I know God through so many things, you know. I really get amazed at the intelligence in the animals and the insects and the plants that are here. I really marvel at that, because there's so much intelligence in them. And so I know, with them being the created, I know that the Creator is even so much more awesome, you know. So it just really gives me a thrill. It just is really amazing to really know what that purpose, what my purpose in life is all about.
Well, people talk about, you know, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? And Baha'is are told that in the little prayer we say, every day, I bear witness, O my God, that thou hast created me to know thee and to worship thee.
Yes.
And the word for knowing is that arfan word, the recognizing. So what it's saying is that we need to recognize these messengers. We're not going to recognize God when he walks in the door, because that's not what gods do. But we do have these manifestations of God that come to earth from time to time, and we're supposed to recognize them. And the word for worship is a word that comes from the word for servant or service. So we're to worship God, but we're not to worship God just by sitting in church and saying hallelujah. We're to worship God the way Mother Teresa worship God, by serving mankind. And when we get done, we serve mankind again. That's we are here to serve mankind and to recognize the messengers of God when they come to us. So Baha'is don't spend any time at all talking about what the purpose of life is.
Yes.
Because we know what it is.
Yes. And the messenger for today is Baha'u'llah. So I'm not wishing, waiting, or hoping anymore. I know who the messenger for today is, and that sense of awareness makes me so rich. You know, it makes me, I have created thee rich. It makes me feel rich to know that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I really start to relate to the writings in such a wonderful and fantastic way.
One thing that really excites me is the success that the Baha'is have had in forming a worldwide organization. There's 17,000 local organizations, and I think the last number I saw was 185 national organizations. So basically every country on the planet of any size at all has one of these national organizations, and it's all coordinated. We're all serving in similar ways. We're holding devotional meetings in every area. We're holding children's classes in every area, and we're holding these study circles in every area where there's a series of books that we go through, and the Baha'is participate if they want to, and people who've not yet enrolled in the Baha'i faith are completely welcome to participate in each of those three things.
Yeah, this is the second most widespread spiritual community in the world.
Right, after Christianity, yeah. But it's so exciting to be, you know, there's so much wrong with the planet now. You can sit around with any group of people and you can complain about the government, you can complain about taxes, you can complain about gas prices, you can complain about various aspects of the economy or complain about racism. You know, you can just go on and on and on with complaints, but you don't hear those kinds of conversations in Baha'i meetings, because we know that the solution, it has been provided by Baha'u'llah, and we're working on that solution, and it's being worked on in a very orderly way, and like the Baha'i T-shirt says, uniting the world one heart at a time.
Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual solution, you know, right. And that can move mountains.
It takes away a level of the frustration. I mean, it's still sad to see what the world is going through right now, but at least we know that there is an end to it. It's not something that's going to go on forever.
Right.
It's not going to get a great deal worse than it is now.
Right.
The world isn't going to be destroyed. It's going to, at some point, people will come to their senses.
Right.
And the growth of communication and the growth of education throughout the world will eventually lead to a world where people are able to talk to each other with respect and begin to cooperate, and slowly it'll get better.
Well, that leads me, dear, to my last point, which is hope. You know, the faith has brought me so much hope, and it can bring you that same hope too. It's, you know, that in the end, everything is going to be all right. And I'm talking about like the afterlife.
So you have a hope for the afterlife? Is that what you're talking about, or a hope for the people on this planet? I mean, what?
Well, because of my love for Baha'u'llah, I have hope today, and I have a great hope in the afterlife. You know, I know that everything's going to be all right, that even though everything's happening here in the world, I feel like things are going to be all right somehow. You know, because of my faith and belief in Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith. And I know that these tests and trials will get through. And I know that there is such hope for me in the afterlife. You know, I'll do and work to my best here. And I know that it doesn't end here, you know, that I will continue to strive to develop the spiritual attributes that I need.
Yeah, that's another nice thing. I guess we could go on with this forever. We've we've gone about a half an hour, so we need to wind this up. But there are people who believe that however you end up in this life. Whatever state you're in when you die, that's your final state, and you're going to stay that way in the afterlife. But that's not what the Baha'is believe at all. We believe that we progress spiritually in this life, and then in the next world we'll progress some more. We have some advantages in this life in that we have a body and we're able to physically help people and learn. There's something, I don't know that I understand this very well, but there's something about having a body that allows us to improve ourselves spiritually. But in the next world, we will be progressing. But I think the phrase is something like that we'll progress through the mercy of God, whatever that means. And we know that we'll have things to do in the next life. We're not going to be sitting around
playing. We'll be volunteering there.
We'll be volunteering there. That's right. For instance, we're told that in the next life we will, and this isn't an exact quote, but it's fairly close, we will be involved in the things that we were involved with in this life. So maybe that's something for you mothers. When you pass on into the next world, you can still be involved in your children's life. I don't know how you'll do that.
But I think now that I know that, I better broaden my horizons.
Or be nicer to your mother or something. Because she's still going to be involved in your life. And we're told that the arts and the sciences are all influenced by people that have gone on to the next world. So that implies that there's something happening in that next world, that we're not just sitting around playing flutes and watching sheep graze. You
know? Well, just in giving credit to this wonderful topic of 9 reasons why you will want to join the Baha'is,
the 9 topics that we've mostly ignored in this.
Well, I'm going to say what they are. Because we don't, number one, because we don't reject the foundations of your beliefs, we renew them.
Oh, you want me to alternate? Okay. The second one is because we offer a sense of community. We talked about that one.
Number 3, because we give you hope for the future.
Yeah, I guess we talked about that
one
too.
Yeah.
Because we have answers for the hard questions.
Because, number 5, because these teachings will bring you joy. We touched on that one too.
Yeah. Number 6, because you will fall in love with the Baha'i writings and their author, God's latest but not last messenger, Baha'u'llah.
Number 7, because you will feel good about yourself. We talked about that one too.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, because we are successful. That's a little bit what I was getting at with the organization of the 17,000 local organizations and the 185 national organizations that are functioning very, very well.
Mm-hmm. It's developing that global harmony. And number 9, because it feels right.
I think there's... Let me just finish with a story. There was a head of one of the Christian religions in the island of Dominica was given a Baha'i book by one of the Baha'is. And he put it, you know, he took it home and he read a little bit. He found something he could disagree with. So he put it down for a couple of weeks. And then some odd moment, he picked it up again and he read a little bit more and got to a point where he could disagree, so he put it down. He kept this up for 6 months. Going every few weeks, he'd go back to this book. And then finally, he told me, after 6 months, he was looking through the book, and he says, "I'm just kidding myself. This is the truth. I've got to stop letting my old prejudices, you know, boil up and obscure this truth." So he became a Baha'i.
Wow.
And that's really a test for the Christian ministers. There's been several, I won't say there's been many, but there's been several that have been so pure-hearted that they've been able to become Baha'is, because that means they lose their job too. You can't continue being a Christian minister once you're a Baha'i. Even
yes.
If you wanted to, the Christian church probably wouldn't let you. So, you know, they've got to go out and sell life insurance or, you know, start a bakery or something, but they can't, they kind of throw away their, all their education that they've had. And this poor guy, he was married, and his wife didn't know anything about this, and she was a little bit upset that he had thrown them out of work. And here, as the head minister's wife, she was a lady that was very much respected in the community, and now she wasn't respected at all. So,
well, probably not completely all, but.
Well, so she eventually.
She didn't have the amount that she.
Right, so she became a Baha'i too.
May have felt.
And then they all lived happily ever after.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I love the stories with the happy endings. Well, thank you.
Well, we should wind it up here. Well, as I said last time, we really are out of ideas. Sandy came up with this idea, and I'm glad she did. I kind of missed doing the podcast for the last few days. So send us some emails or leave us a voicemail and let us know what you think. Let us know some questions that would be interesting to you for us to address in a podcast. We just love to hear from you. So remember, you're welcome to join us at any time. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i faith, look on the internet. The international site is baha'i.org. You'll find information about the faith, and there's also links to the Baha'i communities in several dozen countries around the world. Or, in the U.S., go to baha'i.us. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is Emerald Coast Baha'is, that's with an S at the end, .org. Emerald Coast Baha'is.org. Our phone numbers to talk to a human, call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. To leave us a voicemail, toll free, call 866-590-4545. And please let us know if we can use your message on the air in one of our podcasts. You can also email us at panhandlebaha'is@aol.com. Thanks for listening.